This is Jay Sekulow. Looming government shutdown in Washington, D.C.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Straight from the Oval Office, President Trump making it clear there will be no deal on immigration without a wall. And that clock is moving now on getting a plan to keep the government open. But will they make progress today?
The president certainly doesn't want to shut down. And if one happens, I think you only have one place to look, and that's to the Democrats.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
If the Senate Democrats want to shut the government down, if the Senate Democrats want to deny funding for our troops, if the Senate Democrats want to stop CHIP funding for unrelated issues, that's a choice they would make. I don't think it's a good choice for them to make, but that would be their decision to make.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Well, looming government shutdown is what the talk of the day is. Couple that with the fact that you've got the Democrats are saying that they don't want anything unless there is a DACA fix. Conservatives saying we'll fix DACA, but we also want border security. So now you've got this looming shutdown within about, 36 hours is what the as we're live with you right now. So that raises this question and raises this issue, and that is what's really at stake here and what is politically, Jordan, going on here. I think people need to know. We'll go to Than on this as well.
Yeah, I think that you have to call out the exact politics as they are. And in the real political situation here, under a lot of analysis, is that the Democrats don't want a DACA fix. They want to keep this group of people suspended because they don't want it to be Republicans and certainly not President Trump who delivers ultimately any kind of real immigration reform specific to the DACA issue. And I think because of that, you might see a government funding bill short term go through, unlikely to have a fix, which would get a lot of bipartisan support, not necessarily because, again, all Republicans would be supporting it. There would be some that do not. But because if it was in there, Democrats would have to support it. They'd rather it not be. So I think they're actually lobbying the far right in Congress not to include this kind of language. And, of course, they'd love to see a shutdown. For all of you out there who think that a shutdown would backfire the Democrats, look at history. It never has. It always backfires, really, on the party that's in charge. And ultimately, usually it happens, when it has happened, it's been Republicans in the past, and it has never been good for Republicans leading into an election.
So let me go right to Than Bennett on this, and that is, you've got multiple issues moving at the same time here. How do you see it?
Well, first of all, I think Jordan's exactly right on the DACA issue. Look, the truth has now been revealed because they could have a DACA fix in this legislation, Jay. President Trump has simply said, look, if we're going to address that issue, if we're going to pass a remedy, then we have to make sure that it does not create a magnet for more. What do you need to do to make sure it doesn't create a magnet? You have to include border security in a wall, and the Democrats have said no. So, Jay, the way this would work out, the House is voting on a continuing resolution today that would fund the government for 4 weeks. If that passes, it would go to the Senate, and, Jay, the Senate Democrats are going to have to decide whether or not they're going to stand in the way and continue pretending that it's not because it's because a DACA fix is not in there. That is not the issue, Jay. They like that issue politically on the table.
They do not want DACA off the table. You're exactly correct. And I think this, if you get a border security with DACA, which would be a huge win for the country, would solve the DACA problem and also would give us the border security we need, including the development of enhanced security, which includes a wall on the southern border. I think it's a win for the American people. But you know what it does do? It takes the issue of DACA off the table. And I think the Democrats want to run on that. But the Republicans need to be smart, too, here. So I want to get your reaction, folks, to the whole situation with, a government shutdown. How do you feel about that looming? As Jordan said, never really bodes well for the party in power. And number two, tying DACA into the border security so that while you fix the DACA problem, you get enhanced border security as well, or do you think they should be standalone? We want your comments on that. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Phone lines are open for you. And we want to get your thoughts on this as we communicate them to our government leaders, which we're doing today. So again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your phone calls and get your comments in on that. Also, let me encourage you also to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We got an email out today about the so-called, remember the glitch on the Freedom of Information Act lawsuit that we found with the whole situation going on with when we started with Iran, when it wasn't. We're getting all to the bottom of that. You saw earlier in the week the stuff we've gotten. More to come at ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. During the break, we were talking about what's likely to happen. So there's this looming government shutdown, and that's over a continuing resolution to keep the funding. Part of that continuing resolution would include the CHIP program. Fan, explain to everybody what CHIP is, and it's Children's Childhood Health Care Protection, but explain to everybody what that is, and then we're going to talk about the politics of what's going on the DACA side of this.
Yeah, this is a six-year extension of the Children's Health Insurance Program, Jay. This is federal dollars that are sent to states for children's health care. So even though the funding extension would only be through February 16th, just a few weeks extension, it's a full 6 years authorization of that. So any member that goes to the floor and says, look, I don't like this short-term extension because of either conservative reasons or because DACA's not in there or whatever, they would also be voting against a full six-year reauthorization of that. That's part of the reason, Jay, that I'm not sure Democrats can vote against it. But we'll see.
Yeah, but here's the thing that's so interesting. I was just we're talking about this during the break, but here's the interesting political play if you're looking at what's happened politically on this. So the Democrats, two big points. What are they running on right now? What's kind of left to center running on? DACA, deferred action for the children that were brought over here when they were young kids, DACA, and CHIP, as you just explained it then. Those are the two issues. In the continuing resolution, the CHIP matter's resolved for 6 years. That's a long time in Washington. Then we know that on DACA that there's negotiations going on right now that are pretty close to DACA with enhanced border security, which would include defense funding, the $18 billion, which is not a lot of money for the federal government. But that would take off of the political table both DACA, which the Democrats want on the table, and CHIP, which they also want on the table.
That's right. So if you could – they will try to spin it as, see – Republicans, one, on DACA is the reason why, and this will go a message directly to Latino Hispanic voters. It's going to go right to that group of folks because it doesn't affect everybody. It's still a pretty limited category.
Yep.
But it's they want to deport people who came here as minors who have known no other country. I mean, you could see the ad already.
Right.
And
on
CHIP, I think that's even a bigger impact. Now, people, again, it depends on if you have children or not. But if you don't have children, you have grandchildren. So it kind of, and whenever it involves kids, and you could say that another party is the reason why kids aren't getting insurance,
right?
Who got it before. So a program that existed, and it's the Children's Health Insurance Program. It's basically Medicaid for children. It's another one of those federal state programs.
But the Democrats want it on, they want it lingering.
They don't mind when it hurts people when the Republican Party is in charge because
they can run on it.
They've been very good at. If the Republican Party's in charge, they've been very good at never taking the blame, even if they were the obstacle. And listen, they have some, there is part of them, listen, I don't want to make their case for them, But the Republicans have the majorities right now. If they were smart, I think they'd put both of these in and would actually get it passed. But what we have seen is very uphill battles when it comes to, I mean, it was uphill and impossible for them to repeal Obamacare.
Yes.
Tax cuts were not easy, and that should be the easiest thing for any Republican. So then DACA and CHIP at the same time, it's like that would be way too much for this current Republican majority to handle easily and take away two huge issues from Democrats.
So here's what we have. And let's go right to the phones. In fact, we got a lot of calls coming in on this. We'll try to keep going through calls because there's a lot of questions. Robert's calling from
Maryland on line one. Hey, Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah. Hello, Jay. Hello, Jordan. Hello, Dan. I wanted to ask all three of you, what does Congress have to do in both the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate to avert a government shutdown, knowing that, like you said, Jay, or Jordan, that when a government shutdown has taken place, the party that's in power gets blamed. And traditionally in the past, it's been Republicans that have taken the real hit on that.
Well, you've got you got to look at it. It's kind of a three-way move right now. You've got the leadership that wants a continuing resolution. You've got the Senate and House Democrats that would like it not to be resolved. They would like to see a shutdown, I think. That's my view. We'll get everybody else's. And then you have the Freedom Caucus, which is the conservatives, but they don't like short-term fixes. Stan, is that a pretty accurate way of how it's lining up right now?
Yeah, I think you've got it right, Jay. I mean, and the truth is, this is a terrible way to govern short-term continuing resolutions, but this is where we are again. So I think the most likely scenario, if it does get out of the House and the Senate Democrats block it, Jay, what the House would do, including those Freedom Caucus members, they've actually already passed a rule out of the Rules Committee in preparation for that, which would say, okay, we can try again same day, Jay. So if this fails today or if it fails in the Senate, I would expect to see another vote over the weekend, maybe Saturday or Sunday.
So here's the question, though, and for Robert's point, and that is, Dan, you think the CR is going to pass?
I actually do. It's going to be very, very close in the House today. It would pass with only Republicans, and then the question will be, do Senate Democrats really willing to strike down 6 years of a CHIP extension in exchange for just a four-week extension? I don't know the answer to that, Jay, but if I were going to bet, I do not think Monday morning will arrive without a deal in place, without a CR in place.
Because, Jordan, politically, that's very dangerous for the Republicans, what you just said.
Yes, I mean, I'd say CHIP even more so than DACA, because DACA has not been something that's legislatively been done. So you're not taking really away legislatively. That was the president's decision, not Congress. It was always done through executive action, even by President Obama. So different when you're talking about a federal program run through Medicaid, available again to children who qualify. And it's about, I think right now that they say online it's 8.9 million. So it's a lot of kids, American, U.S. citizens, who are eligible for this program. And when conservatives talk about programs that, again, we're focusing in on, you know, cutting for the middle class and spending and things like that. You don't want to cut programs that really do help those in need, especially when it comes to children. That's not going to play well. And I think, listen, politically, it may be too much for the Democrats as well. Now, DACA, I mean, I think if these Republicans were really smart and really good at what they did, they would put this in at the last minute. If they could get I think the Democrats would have to vote for it. They may lose Republican votes, but I think it would pass. And then what are the Democrats running on in 2018 in midterms? They're against tax cuts because people are making more money. They got DACA through. President Trump could literally be the president of the United States who signs into law DACA. Okay, what President Obama could not do. But I don't know if these Republicans have the ability to get these kind of Democrat-type strategies in place.
Well, here's an interesting comment from Facebook. It's what Barbara just wrote. Why is it that with the Democrats is always their way or the highway? Come on, Republicans, get some backbone. So I think it's important to lay out what Jordan just said again, because my view is on DACA, that we should resolve the DACA situation. We shouldn't have them. You know this. I'm in favor of comprehensive immigration reform, but I start with security on the border. Build the wall. But I do not think you're going to deport 12 million people, and I don't think the DACA participants or recipients of what's considered the DACA class should be shipped back to their country of origin where they haven't been. So if the Republicans, if conservatives could resolve this, I think it's a huge win.
And it's the barrier to getting to comprehensive immigration reform. Remember, this really, the DACA issue is not a border security issue. These people are already here. They're already living. We know who they are for the most part because they registered through a federal program. We warn people about this very issue, though, saying you don't register with the federal government until it's a law, because then the federal government can easily deport you when they decide that they don't like this law anymore.
And we said that we testified.
Economically, we don't have a reason why not to be able to allow this narrow category of people to become part of society. Most public universities and schools were already letting them take advantage of scholarship funds. But it's the single barrier to getting to the comprehensive immigration reform and border security. You're not going to get there until you solve this very small issue that I wish wasn't so politicized, because it's just a handful of people. I don't like the way President Obama did it, and I think it was wrong to do that if he couldn't do it legislatively. But he did it, and it's just a political loser for conservatives.
All right, let's go ahead and take phone calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. You want to take Ed's call? He's been holding.
Yeah, let's go to Ed in Texas on line three. Ed, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Ed.
Oh, hi, guys.
Hey.
Listen, the president needs to get a page out of the playbook of Ronald Reagan. He needs to go to the nation in an address and explain this thing fully, explain chain migration, explain all of it to the American people. Like Ronald Reagan, even if you've got to use graphs, everything else, and I'll guarantee you, like Ronald Reagan, people will call their congressman, Democrat or Republican, and demand that they work with the president, the old, either with him or against him, you know?
Here's what's interesting about this. You know, when the president had that kind of open cabinet meeting, I thought it was extremely effective. And then it got derailed with other comments and someone saying this and someone said that. What you need to do now is bring everybody back into the room. And if we can get DACA, which I think we need to get resolved, and CHIP resolved, even in the form of a continuing resolution, what a victory that would be. Now, Than, is there any chance that they could put DACA into a CR? Is that not likely?
Oh, sure. I mean, in fact, that offer was on the table, Jay. I mean, the Democrats didn't want to accept it because they didn't want the border wall funding. And let me just play
out. They don't accept it because they don't want DACA off the table. Go ahead. Didn't mean to cut you off, but it's so clear to me.
Yep. Well, you're 100% correct, but I was just going to play out the proposal that Jordan put forward. Look, if the Senate Democrats reject this CRJ, you know what I think the Republicans should do? Exactly what Jordan said. In the second time around, put DACA and the wall in the CR, send it over to the Senate, and dare them to block it.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that would be the kind of strategy that would be smart. But I just don't know if enough of those voices are in the ears of Republican leadership, including the President of the United States, because he's got some hardliners on immigration on his team.
All right, we're taking more. It's a great conversation. We'll take more calls and comments. We come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Your support of the ACLJ allows all of us, that's you included, audience, to have a voice in Washington, D.C. and around the world. Your support at ACLJ.org makes all the difference. We'll be back with more, including your calls and comments. We come back from the break.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So we're talking about this looming government shutdown. We've laid out for you the politics of this because I understand a lot of this is politics. And it's this, you know, DACA wall. That makes sense. Solve the DACA problem. Get enhanced security for our borders, which include the $18 billion for the wall development, which is not a big number, by the way, in our overall budget. That's number one. Number two, it solves in the continuing resolution that you got the issue of the CHIP, the childhood insurance protections. That would be extended for another 6 years. But my view is what's happening right now is the left does not want those issues off the table. And here is exactly what Paul Ryan said just moments ago.
If the Senate Democrats want to shut the government down, if the Senate Democrats want to deny funding for our troops, if the Senate Democrats want to stop CHIP funding for unrelated issues, that's a choice they would make. I don't think it's a good choice for them to make, but that would be their decision to make.
So, Than and Jordan, I mean, Paul Ryan's saying what we're saying, but he's saying this is more of a Senate issue problem. Jordan first, then Than. What do you think?
I don't usually see the Senate has not been really the problem with these issues. It's moderate enough that they don't like shutdowns, and so even if they don't love everything that's in there, it doesn't include everything. In the past, I'll go to Than on this. He's more of an expert on specific in Congress, but it never seems like things are quite as controversial in the Senate when it comes to these kind of issues, Than.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's factually correct, but optically only if his chamber can move this out today, yeah. Jordan. I mean, yeah, you're right. The House has been the harder place to move these out. The Senate has generally wanted to keep the government open.
Yeah.
So if his chamber moves the bill, then maybe he's right. Jordan, the one other thing I would say, the political optics of this, I mean, the whole thing began because President Obama didn't want Republicans to get credit on a deal on this, which is why he moved forward in the first place. The reason they don't want it off the table now, because the deal was close then, Jordan, it really was.
Yeah.
And now it's close again, and the Democrats don't want President Trump to get credit. Otherwise, guess what we would have? We'd have a resolution on DACA because the president is in favor of one.
You know, one explanation, Thad, because Speaker Ryan said, we'll see if Senate Democrats, but really speaking, mm-hmm. it doesn't take a single Senate Democrat to get this through, correct?
Well, as currently constituted, it does because they can block it on cloture, so they do need
Democrat votes to get onto the bill. So it has to go through. This is not like, I think it's important
bill.
To point out, unlike these past mm-hmm. few legislative acts that we've seen,
yeah.
this goes back to the normal rules of 60 in the Senate, which does change the
–
we've gotten
yep.
used to this reconciliation of 51 is all you need, and that's not the case here.
No. That's correct. I would point out one quick thing, though, Jordan. Mitch McConnell needs to force that vote. He can't just let Democrats say we oppose it, so we're not going to put it up. He needs to actually make Senate
right.
Democrats go down and vote against 6 years of the CHIP program. Otherwise, there's no real leverage there.
I mean, we're giving you a real breakdown as to what's at play here politically and what the consequences of all this are. So you understand this is a lot of gamesmanship going on right now in the House and Senate. And again, there are certain issues that they want to keep on the front burner, and they don't want a resolution to DACA, and they don't want a resolution to CHIP because they want to run on that for the midterms. That's what all this is about. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, William's calling in from Macon, Georgia, on line 5. William, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. And did you get some snow down in Macon, Georgia?
Yeah, Macon, did you get any snow, William?
Yeah. We got some down here. It lasted a little bit while. We still got a few traces of ice on the roof somewhere. So it's been pretty good to see it after a long while. It's spontaneous down here, but it's good.
I like Macon. All right, William, go ahead.
Okay, this is my question. In lieu of the fact that, you know, that the ones who are pushing this DACA issue, whether it be Republican
right.
or Democrat, are going so hard to try to push this DACA, they're practically saying that bump what the American people want, this is what it's going to be. My question is this. How in the world do they expect to gain the trust of the American people politically in the near future? And the second question would be, do they really think that they're pulling the wool over the American people's eyes that much?
These are two great questions you asked. Number one, look, most Americans want the DACA situation fixed, and they want enhanced border security. I mean, I think it was 66% or 67%. So that's easy. But it's not easy if politically you want to keep that issue on the table. They say, oh, we got these DACA people. What are we going to do with them? And the Democrats are trying to throw people out. And then our people saying, well, we got to have the wall. So the combination is fix DACA, fix the wall, one resolution, get it in there, get it done. The left doesn't want that to happen. It's the same thing with CHIP. They say they want it resolved. I don't believe it.
Yeah. And then again, to the very well-informed Americans out there, And again, I'm not just talking about the small group who will vote in the midterms, because that's even a bigger pool. I'm talking about those of you like who listen to this broadcast,
yep,
who get it, who realize that the effects of a shutdown are more in name than they are in actual what you'd feel, especially outside the bureaucracy. When you get outside the Washington bureaucracy, where some people feel the economics of it, to most Americans, you wouldn't really notice a difference. The military doesn't stop working. Social Security checks still go out. The basics of government that we kind of are all we really like about government still work.
Right.
But to the larger group, it just sounds like if you can't keep your own government open, and this is a government that's allowed to go 20 plus trillion into debt and stay open, unlike most businesses, if you can't keep it open, then it goes more to that issue of governing, especially when you've been given the majorities of the House and the Senate and control of the White House.
We've got two good questions came in from Facebook I want to get to. One is from Janice, who says, is there a vetting process to ensure DACA applicants actually arrived as children? And the answer to that is yes. I mean,
there was a story this weekend. There was someone who arrived a year late and was like 11 years old instead of 10. And because of that, got deported, even under the current DACA
rules
that's in place. And so,
right,
again, when you draw these lines, and you do have to do that with immigration,
right,
you can't keep it so open-ended. So you've got to say what date, at what time, and this is it. And for those other people, they've got to go through the process. The whole family wasn't deported. But the father had to go back to Mexico, could probably reapply because we still have the family reunification.
Right.
We haven't gotten the chain migration is still part of the law and the policy of the U.S. government. So, again, there is a vetting process that would be part of this, but it wouldn't be DACA anymore. See, it wouldn't be deferred action really anymore. It would be part of our law. We'd say if you got here as a minor at this date, between this date and this date, and you file with the U.S. government, they get to come up with the timelines. Then you get to go through the process of being completely reviewed for your history of a criminal activity. Now, I get people's concern. Yeah. Listen, they missed the shooter in Texas at that church because the military wasn't reporting the crime. So I get people's concerns. But I think that Congress can address all of that and be pretty strict.
Also, let me say this. We got a question from Sabrina that I want to give you. And then we'll take calls when we come back from the break. And that is, what is the difference between in a shutdown and what we have now? Clearly, Congress isn't working as it is. Well, Congress just passed the most comprehensive tax reform bill that we've had in our history. And a shutdown has much more significant consequences than people realize. Go ahead, Than.
Well, I would say the budget process of the Congress is not working, has not been working for a long time. They're doing some other things well, maybe not this so much. But as far as the ramifications, I would go back to what Jordan started on. Honestly, Jay, for the people who are paying attention, they wouldn't really notice. Social Security checks would go out. They'd continue to take applications. You might not be able to file if, for instance, you lost your Social Security card. But, Jay, the biggest difference would be that some federal employees, mostly here in Washington, D.C., would not be able to report to work, and they could not get their paycheck until this was resolved. But guess what, Jay? I know you don't probably feel sorry for those federal employees, but in every single situation in recent history, they've been back paid as well, so they'll get their paycheck as well. The ramifications of a shutdown, they're almost nothing.
Well, there you have it. We've got a lot more to talk about. We're going to be here for 30 more minutes. So, again, phone lines are open. We got a couple lines open. We've been going through calls, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be talking about this. We're going to talk about the tax, what's happening with the tax bill as the stock market's reaching all-time high and more jobs being created. So, again, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Also, let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You do that at aclj.org. We've got a couple lines open for you. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment. Remember, if you don't get the full half hour, just go over to Facebook or aclj.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. So we have this looming government shutdown that could occur tomorrow night at midnight. But let me tell you the three factions. You got the leadership that wants a short-term resolution, continuing resolution, which will include the CHIP insurance, the childhood insurance provisions, being on the books for at least 6 years, and you could do a permanent fix. But if it's 6 years, I think that's good. You got the Freedom Caucus that's saying they don't like short-term fixes, but I suspect they'd come along. And then you got the Democratic left saying this: we want other things in there, which is DACA. So if you did DACA and the wall, put it all together, I guarantee you they would not vote for it. Why? It takes DACA, okay, and it takes the issue of CHIP off the political fight. And they want those as issues for the midterm. Jordan and Than have talked about that extensively. That's precisely what our position here is at the ACLJ. We want to get this done. We don't want a government shutdown. We think that's a negative. But that is what this is all about.
Yeah, I think Gary's calling in with exactly this kind of question and comment from Iowa on line one. Hey, Gary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
My comment is, when it comes to DACA and the wall, I'm sympathetic to all the children that were brought here by their parents. I mean, they were just doing what their parents said. You know, if they were leading a good life, working hard, paying their taxes, you know, contributing to society, I agree they should have the right to stay. But in the same, I don't know what the problem is on why we can't put up a border wall, because we have to control this problem. I would let anybody in my house that needed a helping hand if, you know, they're trustworthy. And that's, you know, all Trump's trying to do is basically protect the country. And
I'm for comprehensive immigration reform. I mean, I've said that publicly on this broadcast, but I start with the proposition that I'm the grandson of an immigrant, that you have to start with the proposition of who we got to know who's in the country, and we need to be able to control our borders. So you put enhanced border security through the wall and the other mechanisms that can be utilized on our southern border, which is where they're most vulnerable right now. And solve the DACA problem in one thing, I think that would be fine. The question is, will that get, if that was put into the CR, what would happen?
Well, essentially, Jay, that was what the president proposed, that deal be agreed to before the CR be considered. So it wouldn't technically be attached to it, yep, but it would be agreed with and passed at the same time. Jay, the Democrats rejected that. And, Gary really described the president's position on this. He has said, I'm for a DACA fix, but what I am not going to do is create the same problem that the 30 years of this has created. I'm not going to pass it again without fixing the problem and just recreating it anew.
And here's another part of this, Jordan, I think is equally significant. DACA, President Obama had the House and the Senate in the beginning of his term, right? He could have gotten DACA through, but could have gotten comprehensive immigration reform through, did not, chose to go on the health care issue instead.
Yeah.
So these are political decisions that are made along the way. And now you've got a president saying, give me DACA, give me the wall, we've got a deal, and they don't want to do it.
No, and I think that if it was put up for a vote, it would risk shutdown because there may be enough Republicans and Democrats, Republicans who don't like DACA, from the far right, Democrats who don't like the wall, or however that's explained. And so you could have two groups voting against it. But if you talk about how Than has said it, that you could do this as a separate vote. So you pass the short-term funding, which usually, if it's clean, as we call it, doesn't include all this other stuff, ultimately gets through. We have these crises, and within 24 hours, you know, there wasn't really a shutdown. The vote gets through. But also put that legislation forward. So while people are focused on the shutdown, yeah, you also have them focused on, will Democrats support a DACA fix that includes enhanced border security? How far that border security goes into building a wall, how much of it, that would be up to how far they think they can get. How many votes can they get? But I think you get as far as you can on both, and you put it up for a vote while the nation's attention is actually on Congress.
All right, so here's what we're going to do, folks. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Got a couple lines open for you. We're also taking your comments on Facebook and Periscope. Encourage you to share it with your friends as we continue the broadcast. We'll be joined by Professor Harry Hutchison, our Director of Policy at the ACLJ. He's going to be joining us during the break. So again, if you want to talk to us on air, very easy to do, 1-800-684-3110. Let me also encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Is a great way to support our ongoing efforts on so many issues. And again, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Version of the Beatle classic, We Can Work It Out by the Jay Sekulow Band. And what could be more appropriate as we're looking at the so-called government shutdown and this looming crisis than We Can Work It Out? So I've got our director of policy, Professor Harry Hutchison, has joined us. I want to go right to Harry. We Can Work It Out. So my suspicion, you tell me what you think is going to happen here, Harry.
Well, I think they will muddle through and they will possibly come up with a compromise, which may indeed include both DACA and CHIP, but time will tell in terms of whether
what do you think is going to happen, Jordan?
I think that it's probably, unfortunately, it probably will include CHIP somehow. So I think that that's the most likely program to be included. It's a pretty long-term fix, 6 years. For Washington, that's almost
lifetime.
Like permanent.
Yep.
And again, that takes that issue off the table. Then it's not up for debate. I think that's probably the most likely is probably the government funding temporarily with the CHIP fix, not a DACA fix. And that's because, I don't think that the Republicans are creative enough. Plus, I think too divided. It's just too divided of a party to get these creative ideas, which would be, I think, catastrophic for the left.
Yeah.
But they just...
If you got DACA, table? Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I think. I would do that. I would do that kind of move here.
This is what you need to compromise internally on your own side to really carry the day long term. I mean, if you care about keeping taxes low and all those issues, you better make sure you have a conservative House and as conservative as possible.
That's at risk. That's at risk. So, Than, what? How do you think it plays out?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a short-term CR with the CHIP authorization. I don't think there's going to be a DACA deal at this point, but I'll add this layer to it, Jay. I think then-President Trump is going to take the DACA discussion directly to the American people. I think he's going to expose what Senate Democrats specifically, and House Democrats too, that they rejected a deal that could have had DACA resolved. And I think come the next deadline, likely middle of February, I think there will be a DACA deal by then.
I do, too. I think DACA is going to be, with border security, we're going to see it, and it's going to be a huge win. But that is not what they want to happen. All right, let's go ahead and take a call on line three.
Yeah, let's go to David in Minnesota on line three. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, David.
Hi there.
Yes, sir.
I just had a couple comments. One of them was the so-called government shutdown. Why in the world don't they just tell people how it really is? It's non-essential.
Well, right. But there are political consequences, David, to the shutdown, as Jordan pointed out. And that is, it never bodes well in the next election for the party in power. And, Harry, that's part of the the real – you've got all of these great wins on the tax side, which we're going to get into, and then you'd have this shutdown would just – not that it would wipe out the – I think it would hurt the stock market, by the way. I think the natural impact of that would hurt the stock market. But it kind of sets almost sets a ball in motion you really don't want to have happen.
I think you're absolutely correct. It would be different if we had a government shutdown that led to a historic victory for Republicans going forward. But in order to achieve that, the Republicans would have to stand unified, yeah, principled, and have courage. But I think Jordan is absolutely correct. If the Republicans were sufficiently creative going forward, they could work something out that would ensure that they would have a governing majority even after a shutdown. But I doubt seriously whether they have the creativity to do this.
Let me play what Chuck Schumer's saying, because it kind of shows you the way he's doing it. We'll get everybody to respond. All right, here's Senator Schumer.
Republicans and the president seem intent on pursuing a policy of intransigence. We've been fair. We're happy to negotiate. We've been right down the middle when it comes to immigration.
The fact of the matter is they do not want a DACA bill passing because it takes DACA off the issue. And also, by the way, and they all say they're in favor, as the country is, with DACA being resolved and enhanced border security. But they don't want that off the table. This chip thing is another thing they don't want off the table, Than. They don't want a resolution on chip in 6 years, as Jordan said, is a long time in Washington. They would rather have that still playing.
I can't help but chuckle when I hear him say they've negotiated in good faith, Jay, because what we're facing today is the prospect that a bill is going to go to the floor, and since they couldn't come to a deal on the immigration pieces, the DACA and the wall, those pieces have fallen out. But on the other issue, the chip issue, they are being given more than they asked for. They wanted a one-year authorization. They're getting 6 years. And, Jay, the expectation is it still might not get a single Senate Democrat or House Democrat vote. That is not good faith negotiations.
All right, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We want your comments on this. 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, let's go to Joy in Birmingham, Alabama, online 4. Joy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy.
Hi. I just wanted to know, these DACA recipients, yep, 700,000 that there supposedly are,
yep,
do they automatically receive citizenship, or are they just protected and then they have to obtain that in order to be able to be a voter?
It's not automatic citizenship. There'll be a process, I think, that will be put forward ultimately on that for citizenship, which I'm not opposed to. Once if they're here under DACA, and I think there's a way to do it and understand that's for conservatives. A lot of the people that are coming over are conservative by nature, their culture and heritage. And no Democrat and no Republican has been able to put forward comprehensive immigration reform. And then you have President Trump saying, we're going to build the wall and we're going to get border security and we're going to resolve the DACA matter. And yeah, that is a big political win, but that's not a political win for the left.
That's correct. Indeed, it's a threat to the left. And I think the threat is recognized by the left. So in reality, many Democrats are prepared to sacrifice the health care of children and the future of 800,000 DACA recipients in order to take control, perhaps, of the House of Representatives in 2018. That is their current objective.
Yeah, and ultimately, Congress would then determine the parameters. Obviously, it has to be signed by the president, so you've got to work with the White House. The parameters on how long it would take to become a citizen.
Yep.
Is it lawful permanent residence and not citizenship? Obviously, the top line is that the people would not have to live in fear of a executive action being reauthorized every couple of years. And so, again, I think that that's an issue that could be up for debate. Probably it'd be a path to citizenship of a decade,
yeah,
or so. I mean, that's, yeah, it would take a long time.
My grandfather took him 14 years to become American citizen.
I think came here when it allows them to be in the line and stay here, yeah, while they're in the line.
Yeah, I think that's what it actually does. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me throw this out. I'd like to know this. We're going to give you some tax numbers coming up. I want to know what you think about that tax bill passing. So we'll get to that in the next segment of the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. But let me just tease it with this. Apple has announced that they're going to pay a one-time tax of $38 billion on its overseas cash holdings, start bringing the money back to the United States, investing $30 billion in capital spending in the U.S. over 5 years, which will create more than 20,000 new jobs. it issued its employees a bonus of $2,500 worth of restricted stock as well. So there, you're seeing the ramifications of this tax bill already. We're going to get to that in the next broadcast, the next segment of the broadcast. So we want your comments on that at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know if anybody out there has personally seen a change. Like, you work for one of these large employers. Yeah. Are you a small business owner that's changed maybe the benefits or bonuses that you gave out? Because we hear a lot from the about the big companies out there. So the announcement from Apple. But I'd love to hear from people out there, whether you're an employee or an employer, or a mix of both in management. So 1-800-684-3110. In the next segment coming up, we want to hear from you about that as we go through some of the numbers that have already started impacting our economy positively.
Let's
and
go
not
ahead.
Necessarily from the most conservative, pro-conservative companies. It's not like Apple is some rah-rah fan of President Trump, and they still are doing exactly what the Democrats said they would not. They're investing in the United States of America.
Let's take Jenny Lynn's comment on line one. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Hey. You do great work.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, as a private citizen, is this just fear-mongering with a government shutdown, or why should I care?
Well, you don't want it to be a government shutdown because there's political ramifications to it. It's not good. It's not. There'll be stock market ramifications. But what is this then right now? Is this the looming threat gets everybody to the table?
Well, yeah, I think it does. It's a terrible, irresponsible way to do government, Jay, but unless you're visiting Washington, D.C. during the shutdown, you probably won't even notice. There will be some monuments and some museums that are closed that need staffing, but unless you're here, Jay, or if you happen to live right next to a national park that can't open, you probably won't even know the government shutdown.
But, Harry, a lot of it's political theater.
Absolutely. And so if we go back to the last shutdown in Washington under President Obama, President Obama took deliberate steps to maximize the pain and agony received by individuals visiting Washington. Why? Because he wanted to up the political cost imposed on the Republicans.
Did he close monuments that were open 24/7? You went down there.
Yeah, they closed like the World War II monument,
which
so
is
that
open.
The honor flights couldn't enter, which is just an open monument that doesn't really have security. It has sometimes park rangers, but it's not something like a Smithsonian building that opens and closes and locks its doors. There are times you're not supposed to be there at night, but that's about it. And so they actually took steps, and this was FOIA'd out, to try and make people feel pain of a shutdown that was government-created pain.
Right.
It was manufactured.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. Do that at aclj.org. Again, we'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Last segment coming up.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
after the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to focus in on both the issues we've been covering, which is the whole government shutdown thing and taxes. But interesting calls come in on line two. Let's go ahead and take it,
Jordan. I asked to hear from people who maybe in their own small businesses, or if you work for a large company, who have already seen the changes or given out bonuses or benefits to people because of the tax cuts that were put through and the tax reform. And Doretta is calling in from Indiana on line two. Doretta, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi. You're on the air.
Yep. I am just calling to say that my husband and I own a small business, and a few days after the Tax Cut and Jobs Act was enacted, we have only one full-time employee, but we did give him a raise simply because of the anticipated tax cuts.
Yeah,
but see, that's what makes a difference all over. I mean, that is a significant difference all over, and that is, I think, a very important move that you've made. But, Harry, this goes to a larger issue, and that is the amount of money and jobs being created. Small business is a huge part of that. But also the large companies are reacting.
Absolutely. So if you look at the overall numbers, and a tax reform group has issued a 78-page report, which looks at the numbers in detail, more than $1 trillion will be repatriated to the United States. This will generate more than $200 billion in tax revenue alone. In addition, a large number of larger firms are giving their employees bonuses and wage increases, and this does not count the smaller firms, as the caller indicated. So we are likely to see a huge economic boom going forward, and we have reached economic growth numbers unseen during the Obama administration.
Yep.
Probably 3-5% annual growth for the next couple of years.
I mean, I just saw somebody in Facebook said they work for Target and they can't wait to see what their paycheck's going to do in February. So I think people are generally excited about this. All right, let's go ahead and take another call. We'll keep the conversation going. Who's next?
Yeah, let's go to Abe in Nevada on line five. Thanks for holding, Abe. You're on the air.
We're going to send you a book, Abe, because you have been holding for a long time. So hang on when we're done talking.
I appreciate it. Yeah, okay. I just have a few comments to say. First, I agree with this person, a couple of people before me, but they're saying, let the government shut down. Let the Democrat go and go through it. The problem is, you know, the Democrats are following, I mean, just like a bunch of herd with Pelosi and Schumer. And nobody else says nothing. Whatever they dictate, that's what happened. The border has to be controlled either by a wall or whatever the case is. I mean, I'm an immigrant myself, but I immigrated from Israel to Canada by the rules, from Canada to United States by the rule, opened a company, I got plumbing, heating, and air conditioning company, employed people, and I was going to retire, actually. And the taxation differences going to make me actually increase the business, open it up, I mean, enlarge it, because it's a benefit for me.
Sure. Well, I think that was the idea, and we're seeing it come into existence.
Yeah, so you decide to stay in the workforce and keep the company in control so that you can lead its expansion. I mean, that's, again, whether you're talking about one employee or 15, these were decisions made. I want everybody to understand that. These were decisions made before the law even went into effect. Just based off the text, usually legislation is so complicated that you can't decide anything based off the text of legislation. You've got to literally wait until it's implemented to see what decisions you'll make and how it'll affect you. This was so clear in the tax cuts and tax reforms that companies, large and small, made decisions before it was even actually gone into force. Now it has, and we're starting to see more of those decisions become public.
So, Harry, what do you see as the short-term and the long-term benefit of all this?
Well, number one, we will see economic growth. Number two, I think the American people will experience a revelation. And the revelation is that after taking office a year ago or so ago, the evidence will be crystal clear that President Trump has had a very successful year in office. That's number one. And then number two, it's becoming crystal clear that the Democrats have consistently underestimated his policy approach.
So, Than, give me quickly, we're going to go right back to the phones here. Your sense on that?
I think Harry's correct, and I think you've seen all of these anticipatory moves that are already bolstering the economy. Jay, the federal government is essentially done with their preparation. This is now in payroll offices across the country, and once they update their software, et cetera, it's going to trickle down to everyday workers. I think the impact is going to grow from what we've seen already.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go to line six.
All right, let's go to Jay in Nebraska on line six. Jay,
hey,
welcome
Jay, you're on the air.
To Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Your policy, what you're talking about is so wise, you should send this program to every Republican in Congress.
Well, I hope we know a lot of the offices, then they listen, right? They do.
Well, we talk to them. These are our proposals that we put out in public.
Yep.
They're not just ones we talk about. We take them to the Hill.
All right. But, Jay, yeah, I appreciate you saying that. Listen, that's why we do this every day, and that's why we do this broadcast every day. And it gives you a voice, gives all of us a voice. All right, let's grab another call here. I'm going to get two in 2 minutes and 47 seconds.
Kimberly in West Virginia on line four. Kimberly, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Kimberly, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I don't think that the people are in the same mindset as to blame the party in charge if there's a shutdown. This last election has proved it. We are just sick of the swamp, and that party that's in charge, whoever shuts it down, we are not going to be the same as we were in the past.
Yeah, but here's the differential. I want to be clear on this politically. Kimberly, we're giving you political history shows that these government shutdowns look like a lack of leadership. I'm not disagreeing with you on what's happening. I think this is a lot of showmanship and gamesmanship.
Yeah.
But that's how it ends up being. And you've got that 3% in the middle, and that's who you're fighting for here.
Yeah, and they don't like the fact that the government can't stay open, that these
right.
guys can't come together, guys and gals cannot come together and keep the basics of government functioning when they have no budgetary restraints whatsoever.
Right.
They just have to vote yes to keep the government open. They can strip out every other controversial provision they want. And I'll tell you, I wish that it wasn't like that. But the truth is that when you talk about 1% or 2%, which is how these midterm elections will swing in a lot of places,
yep.
in purple states, even in some red and blue states, there are enough of those voters, they just don't like the idea, independent voters,
that
they can't keep
the
government basically open.
All right, let's grab the last call. Sonia, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Yes, I was calling to refer to the lady who commented earlier on who would be affected by the shutdown.
Yep.
There are going to be families affected by this shutdown.
You're absolutely right.
And why? Yeah, and ours is one of them.
Yeah, you said your husband works for the federal government?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, so look, I'm not. You're not hearing me as a proponent of shutdowns. I think I played that song, We Can Work It Out, for a reason. Work it out. That's what governance is. You got to compromise on some things. There's ways to get this done. Now it's a question of leadership, both of the Republicans and the Democrats, to get this done and get it done quickly. That's, I think, what's going to have to happen here.
Listen, we know, I mean, especially she's calling from Maryland, so in the Beltway and around the Beltway, there's a lot of federal employees. As Stan said, they ultimately get the back pay, but if you're living close to paycheck or had something planned, it can impact you. There's no excuse for a shutdown. I don't see any ideological excuse for one this time around. This would just be bad governance. It's why Republicans need to ultimately get this done. Stay on message with what you did with tax reform. Keep the momentum up.
All right, that'll do it for the broadcast. We'll talk to you soon.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.